Hi, I'm Charlie Hopper. Someday you may hear we're gone, so we're giving you this to remember us by. By the way, you'll hear I and we interchangeably, because Edie and I both worked on this, to relate the things that mean most to us in this life, and of which we are convinced about the next. First, let me thank you for listening. It's one of three scenarios that find you hearing these words. Number one, we've passed away. Or two, millions of people have disappeared and we're among them. Or there's a third possibility I'll mention at the end of this short visit. Among the things we are most thankful for is that we truly found our other half in this life and were able to spend the greater part of it together. Next on our thankful list are the families we were born into and the family that was given to us, our children, their spouses, their children, all the wonderful friends who came across our path, and even brief acquaintances we never got to know very well, but we wanted you to hear these words also, that you may find to be of value. We were pretty simple people, typical children of 20th century America, surrounded by all the distractions of our culture, just like you. But somewhere along the way, we heard the voice of the Creator who put us here. Every rational person eventually faces the issues of, where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? And now, presumably, that I'm gone, we can speak freely about the answers we found to these questions during the brief time we were here. Time had a beginning, and time will have an end. Not just the self-evident truth that people are born and eventually die, but based on what we believe to be our Creator's revelation to the human race, the Bible. We accept this without the need for further proof or explanation, as Genesis 1:1 asserts, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." It gives no explanation or proof of God, or what He did before the beginning, although the New Testament tells of a promise God made before time began, speaking of a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time, in Titus 1:2. And the prophet Daniel had a lot to say about the end of time, when travel and knowledge would be dramatically increased, which perfectly describes the 21st century. During our lives, the thing we valued most in regard to knowledge was the Bible. It's the story of the nation through which God would bring His Son into the world, and the role Israel would play at the conclusion of history. There are concepts in the Bible that are hard to understand, such as why the need for blood sacrifices, from the first animals killed for skins to cover Adam and Eve's nakedness when they introduced sin into the world, through stories like calling Abraham to be willing to sacrifice his son, the service of the daily and annual sacrifices of the Jewish nation, all pointing toward the time when God would send His own Son to be the ultimate sacrifice for sin. The certainty of the Bible rests on one historical event which it recounts, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If it's true, if there was a real man fathered by God through a virgin who lived a perfect life 2,000 years ago, became the perfect sacrifice to reconcile us to God, and was proven to be the Son of God by being restored to life after His brutal crucifixion, then that changes everything. Instead of listening to the noise of life all around us, during our lives, we realized we should be listening to God's message, the good news, the gospel, which is simply these words from the Bible. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Those are all words from the New Testament. And just as surely as Christ rose from the dead, the Bible tells us He is coming again to this earth to bring about the conclusion of human history. When a person hears this message, something miraculous can happen, as it did for us. As a spiritually dead person, God called us to new life by giving us the gift of faith. But one distraction that made it harder in life to really hear the message was seeing the myriad of ways people responded by adding things in the various denominations. For example, interpreting the phrase, receiving Christ. One group focuses on physical rituals that receiving Christ is something you physically do by practicing the Mass, receiving the sacraments to qualify for eternal life. Another group puts it on a mental level, that receiving Christ is an act of sheer will, that by virtue of a decision we can earn a right standing with God. And yet a third group will say neither of the first two can be saved because they're depending on something in addition to the gospel. And in essence, these people go about to perfect a religion of non-works in order to truly receive Christ. Here's the view we came to about receiving Christ. It's not something we do, but rather something that was done to us, like an empty glass that becomes filled. The glass is the receiver of that which fills it. Hear the account of the Apostle Paul's salvation, which is a perfect picture of our own. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Receiving this gift of faith and becoming saved by God's mercy totally reversed Paul's direction and behavior, a thing called repentance, which we experience constantly in our own lives too, the need to deny our wrong impulses, take up our cross, and follow Him. The words of another apostle, Peter, puts it in this way: You have been born again through the living and enduring Word of God. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. Another clear picture of hearing God's voice and being called to new life is that of Lazarus in the New Testament, who had died and was in a tomb into which Jesus yelled, "Lazarus, come out!" It wasn't a decision or a physical ritual that saved him, though he had to choose whether to stay among the dead and to physically come out of the grave. On the day Jesus Christ returns, according to the Bible, all those in the grave whom He has saved by His mercy and grace will be raised, and born-again people who are alive will be zapped up into the sky with them. As we record this, we don't know which group will include us. We don't know if we'll have to pass through that valley of the shadow of death, or if suddenly one day we'll be sailing up through the clouds. But this one thing we are sure of: God's Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And that's the most important thing which we were thankful for during our time on this earth. You know, in those denominations I mentioned earlier, we expect to see people from all of them sailing up through the clouds too, because we've met people in each who show every evidence of being a receiver of God's grace, people whom God has chosen in every walk of life to give the gift of faith. And however that's expressed, it's not our place to judge. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. This doesn't mean our words or the rational processes in our head are the things that save us, but rather this is the evidence that God has done the saving. At the beginning of this message, I mentioned three scenarios. One, either you've heard of our death. Or two, Christ has returned and we're among the missing. Or three, maybe you were just curious to know what Edie and I would say in such a message. If we're still alive and still around, that's a good thing. And now, you know where we stand on matters of eternal significance, and we hope and pray for you that you will know the same peace and joy as a born-again child of God.